We would like to see this model being rolled out as the society is changing, as demographics are changing.
It's not what you believe, it's how you behave which is important.
Hi, I'm Mel Pickup, Chief Executive of Bradford Teaching Hospitals, and welcome to this month's episode of our podcast series, where I'm sitting down with colleagues and partners from across the Trust and the wider community to find out more about them and their contributions to the health and well-being of the people here in Bradford. I've worked in the NHS for 34 years, and I originally started as a nurse. And so I've been very, very familiar over that time with the role of hospital chaplaincy. But what we have here in Bradford is something very new, very innovative, groundbreaking, even on a national level. And I'm really excited that we have the company of two of our spiritual, pastoral and religious care team. Mohammed Arshad is an imam and the head of the team, and Joanna Mutlow is our humanist spark practitioner. Welcome both. Arshad, you were only the second Muslim chaplain in the country when you joined what was then simply known as the chaplaincy team here at Bradford over 20 years ago. Can you tell us a little bit more about your personal journey to becoming a chaplain?
I was a nursery teacher and reception class teacher, and it was when the school secretary came up to me and said, "I think you'd be a great person for this job." I just laughed it off, and then somebody in the community a few days later mentioned it again to me. So I thought, well, maybe there is something there. And I started in 1999, and I was part of three other chaplains, one from the Church of England background, one from Free Church, and the Catholic chaplain. And initially it was about bringing about a change within Bradford. The largest ethnic minority group that we were serving through our doors at the time were the Muslims. So a post for the Muslim community was created.
And so much will have changed. Your role as a chaplain, how is it different today than it was then?
As a massive change is to engage with staff and support staff. Even at that time, the norm was to visit patients only, and those especially at the end of their life, so at their last stages where a chaplain was called. Now we are now on the journey alongside the patient throughout their stay in hospital.
And in much the same way as your appointment was pretty groundbreaking, you've also now welcomed, we all have the pleasure of Joanna having joined our team as one of the first humanist practitioners working in a hospital in the country. Joanna, can you tell us a little bit more about your background and how it brought you into the work that you are doing with us here in Bradford?
I think there's about a dozen of us in the country sprinkled around in various roles from the non-religious pastoral support network. Like many people, I didn't think that non-religious people could get involved in chaplaincy. And I was like you, Arshad, I was pointed in the direction. My daughter met a chaplain and said, "You should be doing that job, Mum." And then I trained and then started volunteering and was really excited to be offered the post here. I've sat at the table not as an extra, not as a token, but as a member of the team. What I've said has counted in a way that I think a lot of my other humanist colleagues find it difficult to get in certain chaplaincies around the country.
It's interesting, isn't it, that both of you had other people prompt you to think about this role. What is that something they saw in you?
It's not what you believe, it's how you behave, which is important. We've tried to define what those behaviours are as a team. So we set about having 12 characteristics of what a Bradford Spark practitioner is, how we behave towards each other, how we behave towards staff and patients. So defining those behaviours, those ways of being, have been an important part of what we've worked on.
absolutely, there is the element of the care and compassion, and that's what we all have. But it's that understanding of being alongside our colleagues at the same time, supporting them, knowing that we go through a difficult journey throughout the day. We come in with an agenda, we know what we're going to do, but suddenly we can be thrown into the deep waters with other things. Basically, it's about being alongside each other and supporting them.
So lots of people who know anything about hospitals get what doctors do and what nurses do. Fewer people, I think, would appreciate the role that formerly chaplaincy and now our Spark practitioners carry out. What would it comprise of?
We can go from being part of a celebration of the birth of a baby with the family, from being called to the other side of the hospital where we have to break bad news for another patient. We can go from one side to another without knowing what our day is going to be like.
And I think another important part of that is that we work cross-belief rather than multi-faith. Whereas in some chaplaincies, people will see their own from their own faith. We work in this cross-belief way where we are there for everybody. And then if people have specific needs related to their belief, then we refer within our team. But our starting point is we go out there to engage with everybody.
You've spoken about the role that you play not just in support of families and patients, but of colleagues as well. Can you tell me a little bit more about how you do that?
When there's a staff bereavement on wards, we're developing a much more proactive approach to go to the ward and to talk about the issues for staff. And we're talking about, we've presented bereavement boxes where staff can put notes in that go to the family, and looking at a more rounded approach to in our response around staff bereavement on those sad occasions when that happens.
We've been part of handovers for our staff, part of MDTs, where they've actually called us because of the way we've supported themselves and patients through a difficult situation. And it's been very interesting how actually staff managers will actually ring in and say, we do have a staff member, can someone support them?
And I think also we help staff by just being on the ward. You know, so I was in A&E the other week and someone's dropped their phone. So everyone's too busy to deal with that. So being there just to help a patient with dementia back to their bed, that's all part of how we support staff as well.
And it's never or hardly the case of it's a Muslim, can a Muslim be supported by another Muslim? It's can we have someone to support a staff member?
Arshad, I know in a lot of my conversations with you, I always leave knowing more about the Muslim faith than I did when we started the conversation. And I'm struck that we have got such a diversity in Bradford of different cultures and religious beliefs, all of whom may at some point need the services of our hospital. There's a real area of expertise as well as that general service that's provided, though, isn't there, in equipping our staff to understand the religious needs and beliefs of their patients. Is there a role, do you think, that you play in educating staff and improving their awareness so that they can give better care?
Since we've become more visible on the wards, staff have got to understand we're there for them also. And managers have come up to us and said, well, you know, we could do with a bit of training or some advice for our patients that we see. One of the main things that we come across is we didn't want to do this in case we end up offending the patient. We've started tailor-making training now for wards and departments, and there is going to be a package that we're going to do for the whole of the trust.
So we now have a Spark app which has as one of its options within it a drop-down menu for staff to look. So if a Buddhist comes onto the ward, they can find out a little bit about Buddhism. They can click and find out about eating habits. They can find out that when a Buddhist dies, what is the correct way to manage the body and not offend. We've got 6 belief groups on there at the moment. We hope to extend that to more. But that's a resource for staff who don't know perhaps much about Sikhism or about humanism or about Islam, where they can find just-in-time information that they need in order to tailor their care around people's specific needs.
We've recently had the Interfaith Week, where we were highlighting and educating staff around different beliefs and faiths that we serve through our doors. So we've had a number of things that we're doing.
I was struck, Arshad, when you mentioned your role in the MDT, and for people perhaps less familiar with the terminology, that's the multidisciplinary team, isn't it? It's when different groups of professionals come together to talk about one patient or one patient's families and their home circumstances, their diagnosis, treatment, prognosis. Do you feel in that environment, do you ever feel intimidated or not listened to? How are you received in those conversations?
We feel very valued that we are part of the holistic care for the patient, and staff are able to understand the importance of a Spark practitioner within this role.
These are such progressive ideas that you can see really beginning to make a huge impact on that thing that we call holism, you know, looking at the patient as a whole, which traditionally we may not have gotten quite right in healthcare, I think. So I'm really encouraged to hear that from you. I'm interested, though, also in what the pandemic did to your perspectives on chaplaincy. Can you tell us more about that?
Yeah, I think everything was thrown up in the air in lots of ways. We had extra chaplains, as it was then, who joined the team. That set up a whole debate and discourse around what we were doing and why. And I think the disruption of the pandemic brought about this new way of thinking.
Absolutely, it did. We were very fortunate that we were one of very few trusts in the country that allowed chaplains to be on site and working. And then this brought about looking at how we were there to support the communities, people who were turning up at the doors, how we were supporting our patients, families wanting to know what were the last words of our loved one before they passed away. So we played a very, very important role for everyone as chaplains. This triggered off our thinking of a change that's needed. And this is where the Bradford model then emerged from.
You were that bridge, often into the community. And the idea that if they couldn't be there, you and colleagues like you were there, was very comforting to them, I think. That helped allay a lot of fear and anxiety and help with the idea of trust between ourselves and the community, that we were all of us trying to do the very best for the patient.
Absolutely, Mel. And we still see people who we meet either in the cemetery or who come for their outpatient appointments who actually still remind us and thank us and are grateful for being there for their loved ones who unfortunately died during the pandemic, which is an assurance to say that firstly, they accepted and secondly, they felt that if they couldn't make it, at least somebody else was there for them. And that's quite comforting to hear.
I think that's something about tone of what we bring. One of my colleagues calls it the cloak of calm. And I think that's a lovely phrase about how we come in and enter the space. We have a different remit. Perhaps goes back to that question you asked at the beginning about what makes us right for this job. I think it's something about bringing that cloak of calm and that acceptance and that non-judgmental, helpful attitude.
And I guess that's the real strength of the cross-belief service, not a multi-faith service. Because if you feel the need for calm, calm is calm, isn't it? Compassion is compassion. Empathy is empathy. So the app comes a little while after the launch of the Spark service, because we've been doing it a little while now, to great acclaim. Where next with it?
Well, we've always said the Spark journey is a journey. We haven't arrived. It's somewhere we're aiming for. So we're 1 year in. We've got plenty in our sights that we still want to achieve.
We've set aside 3 years for this. We've done quite well in achieving some of our objectives up to now. But we would like to see this model being rolled out to the other hospitals. As the society is changing, as demographics are changing, we feel that this will be the way forward, certainly for the makeup of most of the cities around us.
I mean, there's something in there which is about the uniqueness of Bradford as well, because the latest census figures show that we're pretty much equally now Christian, Muslim, non-religious as the three main belief groups, just about 30% each, and the remaining 7% is everybody else. So there's something pretty unusual about Bradford in that already we're starting from a different place. And to aim to deliver our service equally to all those groups, it's more obvious we need to do it here.
Yeah. And do it you have, and you've done it so well, and I'm incredibly grateful for your leadership.
Can I just make one other little point there, because you mentioned leadership, and I would say core to all of this development has been Arshad's leadership. And Arshad does not lead in a traditional way, probably not in a typical NHS way. He's a very non-hierarchical person, a very humble person, but he lets people come to the table. He truly believes in equality and in promoting that. And I think that you, Arshad, have been key to this being successful.
Thank you, Jan. Thank you.
And on that note, Arshad, that brings us to a close of our conversation, which I've thoroughly enjoyed. Thank you so much for joining me today. And thank you. And please thank the rest of the team for all that you do for our hospital and our communities. And listeners, if they want, can find out more about our Spark team and the support that they provide at spark.bradfordhospitals.nhs.uk. Thank you.